From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Ed Morin, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, October 31st, 2018. And on this day, absentee ballot requests in Maine up significantly this year. This year's election debates reportedly don't provide a lot of inspiration to voters concerned about climate change. That's ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
People attending a vigil last night in South Portland for the Pittsburgh synagogue victims filled the seats, stood along the walls, some listened from a plaza outside. There was music, memorial candidates, rather candles lit for the dead, and messages filled with Jewish traditions. Molly Rolls is executive director of the Jewish Community Alliance of Southern Maine.
In the Jewish tradition, we welcome the stranger because we were all strangers once. We cannot let ourselves be divided by the calls for fear and loathing of the stranger, the other, the different.
The vigil was held at Bet Ha'am Synagogue. Its rabbi, Jared Sachs, says it was important to turn mourning into action to deal with divisions in the country. Maine election officials are reporting a significant spike in the number of requests for absentee ballots. In fact, it's possible that more than a third of all ballots next week will be absentee. Mal Leary has more.
4 years ago, in the hotly contested race for governor, nearly 140,000 Mainers requested absentee ballots. In the presidential election 2 years ago, over a quarter of a million Mainers sought to vote absentee. For midterm elections like this year's, turnout never generally reaches such levels, but so far, Mainers have requested over 173,000 absentee ballots, with some requests yet to be counted. Secretary of State Matt Dunlap says he thinks the state is on track to see a robust number of absentee votes this year.
The last couple of cycles, we've been knocking on the door of about 35% turnout by absentee ballot, and I have no reason to think that this year will be any different.
Maine allows voters to use the absentee ballot process for any reason, including convenience. But Dunlap says heightened voter interest may be driving the increase in requests. UMaine political science professor Mark Brewer says the millions of dollars of spending that has gone into the contest for governor and the second congressional district may be spurring voter interest, and that may be part of the increase in absentee ballot requests.
Or is it more of kind of a national something that's driving this, and whether that be unhappiness with the president or something else? That's the interesting question. My guess is it's probably a combination of both.
In addition, candidates and their political parties have also been encouraging early voting, says University of Southern Maine political science professor Ron Spitt.
The likely voters are paying closer attention and are more energized. The parties, particularly I think the Democratic Party, has really been pushing people to vote early and to vote absentee. And this suggests to me that their messaging is getting out there.
And Schmidt says given the apparent closeness of those particular races, the increase in absentees could play a role in determining the winner, particularly the second district where ranked choice voting is in effect. But Brewer cautions that requesting a ballot is only the first step in the absentee process.
It could be pointing us in the direction at a higher turnout, although just because an absentee is requested obviously does not mean it's going to get turned in. But I think it's definitely pointing towards the direction of a stronger turnout.
Data compiled by the Secretary of State's office indicates that most absentee ballots are cast. For example, 2 years ago, nearly 265,000 ballots were requested and over 258,000 were counted. Voters have up until 8 o'clock election night to turn in absentee ballots. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Rising water on the seacoast, less snow on the ski slopes, more frequent storms bringing heavy rain and ice, that's the forecast for New England in the coming years. But how that forecast will translate to policy at the local level is another question. And as New Hampshire Public Radio's Breida Green reports, many voters concerned about climate change see little to inspire them in this year's election debates.
Last Halloween was not a great one for Chelsea Lent. You might remember a bad storm blew through New Hampshire. There were evacuations across towns near the White Mountains. Lent is one of the owners of a campground in Warren along the Baker River, which overflowed its banks that day. She points out where the water swept away campfire rings and dropped all kinds of debris.
Picnic tables were pushed into the neighbor property. There used to be a bathhouse that was compromised and had to be taken down. And the road was destroyed. I think we probably had weeks worth of putting that back.
This is one of the predicted results of climate change, more frequent storms bringing bursts of heavy precipitation, rain that overwhelms stream banks and drainage systems. Lent says for her business, it's meant several floods in recent years of their most desired waterfront campsites.
The riverbed used to be over to the left more, but now it's coming directly at the property. And
have you thought about just giving up on this section?
We have, but this is where people like to be because it is along the river and so.
I think the upper level is going to have riverfront someday.
That's her business partner, Carol Clark, jumping in. They say environmental issues are on their minds with the election coming up.
I would like to see a more aggressive approach, yeah, because I think, again, it's going to have lasting impacts on landowners and business owners and the wildlife.
Climate change and environmental policy has historically broken along party lines, with Democrats pushing more aggressive action and Republicans raising skepticism about the real risks. That's true in the state's top races this year for governor and both congressional districts. But Lent says she's an independent and hasn't decided how she's going to vote. To a certain extent, her uncertainty reflects the fact that this campaign season, climate change doesn't seem to be a key political issue. It's eclipsed by others, the cost of energy and health care, and things like the opioid crisis. That's frustrating to voters like Terry Roper of Waterville Valley, the ski town in the Whites.
I think the Democrats should actually come out stronger on the environmental issues.
I spoke with her while she caught a quiet lunch with her family at a small cafe. She's worried the consequences of a warming planet will be dire.
And I think about my grandkids and my great-grandkids, and I just want there to be something there.
Just across the town square at the local pub, Mark Phillips was having lunch as well, taking a break from the stone pillar he's building for a new Welcome to Waterville Valley sign. He lives in the town of Lisbon on the other side of the White Mountains. He's a Republican, and he says he, too, cares about environmental issues here.
I do a lot of photography as well as masonry work, so I believe that the environment, especially up here, is very important.
Yeah, are you concerned about climate change?
Not at all.
I ask him about the winters, the forecasts of less and less snow as the years go on, which will hurt the ski industry here.
I don't understand that at all because where I live, we have snow we had snow yesterday, and we have snow all winter long until sometimes almost into April, so.
He says he's not necessarily a Trump fan, but the president's policies seem to be working. At least, most importantly, the economy's doing well, so the environment can wait.
It's an issue I think about, but it's not something that consumes me to change a vote.
That focus on the economy reflects the Republican message this year in New Hampshire. Both incumbent Governor Chris Sununu and congressional candidate Eddie Edwards say we need a market-driven approach to any changes in energy policy. Many voters feel the same way, and among those who do care most strongly about climate issues are people who are already seeing it impact their bottom line. Take Ian Cullison, for example, who runs the cross-country ski center at Waterville Valley and says they've been very affected by warmer winters in recent years.
And really, the viability of this industry has kind of gone towards looking at snowmaking and non-snow year activities. So, like, biking in the winter has become a bigger thing, especially for us, because if our snow is really bad and scary, then it gives us something for people to still come up and do and have a good time.
He'd like the issue to be more at the forefront.
I'd love to see just a better local discussion and initiatives that are focused on sustainability at the local level. I mean, that's just the focus, just trying to get everybody more engaged.
Climate change shouldn't just be a Washington political football to be punted around, he says, but instead something to talk about and vote on now. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Breecha Green.
The Maine Council on Aging today released a blueprint for healthy aging. The share of the state's population of seniors over age 65 is growing, and the council's Jess Maurer says new models for housing, transportation, and care are needed.
And those can't all be formal. They really, the backbone of our care system is informal caregivers, so family members and friends.
The blueprint calls for municipal-level efforts to create more age-friendly communities. It also recommends creating a state cabinet on aging to oversee formal support services and connect them to municipalities. Maurer says the Council on Aging hopes to partner with Maine's next governor to implement the blueprint. Maine-based WEX, Inc. is announcing significant growth over the past year. The payment processing company released third-quarter financial results today, indicating 18% growth in revenue since last year at this time. WEX's CEO, Melissa Smith, told investors on a conference call that relying on proven strengths and pursuing new diverse business opportunities could lead to continued growth.
WEX is positioned well for a long runway of future growth and value creation.
The company says a new acquisition and contracts with several federal agencies and Shell and Chevron oil companies contributed to the company's growth. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine, Wednesday, October 31st, 2018. Thanks to Erwin Gratz, Willis Ryder Arnold, Patty White, Susan Sharon, Keith Shortall, and our digital team, Ahmed Morin.